Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact me via my cell phone, 423-544-0623. Or you can write Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. Or you can always contact me via the internet. Also, too, we've got some good resources on the internet that's available to you for free. Our web address is www.gospelmailbox.org. That is gospelmailbox.org. We're continuing on with our series on Psalms 110, and today's session is number 10. Excuse me, it's Psalms 119. Today's session is number 10. And we're going to be dealing with two sections of this great psalm. The first one is, and as I had mentioned previously, this is actually Psalms 119 is an acrostic in the Hebrew alphabet, and this section is taken from the Hebrew letter Pei, and it starts in verse 129. And the section goes through 136. The section reads like this, starting at the 129th verse. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the temple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Now I want us to stop and consider the 133rd verse, where it says, order my steps unto thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And I want us to consider for a little bit how that we are in a warfare. This is not, we're not, after you get saved, you're not in a time of peace. You're not in a time of non-conflict. There's not a truce been made with the world. Now, there is peace down deep in your heart, and you are in a period of peace. You used to be at war with God, and you're at peace with God after you get saved. But it puts you in conflict with the evil forces around you, and the evil forces that still crop up in your own life, in your own mind. And you are in conflict. You're not in a position of non-conflict. And a lot of people act like they are. The feeling that they have is, and maybe it's because they've misunderstood what they've been taught or whatever, but they feel like that once they come down to the front of the church and they sign a little card, that suddenly it's all over. They don't have to worry about anything. But that is not the case. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but to bring a sword to the world. When you get saved, you're in battle. You're on the firing line, and you've got to keep your head in that kind of mentality, that to remember that you are in conflict with the evil forces around you. And Paul understood that really well. In 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we see how that Paul understood that conflict, how that he understood that he was in a battle, and just like any soldier, any martial artist knows, you have to keep yourself in good condition to be able to fight. I taught Taekwondo for some number of years, and actually went off and competed a little bit in Taekwondo. And so I understand a little bit of what it takes, and I understand, I have personal experience with this kind of thing. And if you don't apply yourself when you're going to compete, if you don't apply yourself and actually do the exercises you need to do every day, and keep away from the kinds of foods that are going to be detrimental to your health, and you don't keep away from those kind of foods, when it comes time to go to compete, you can end up with some pretty serious injuries. The last competition that I was in, I ended up getting my rotator cuff damaged. And the only reason, really, I personally think that I got injured was that I hadn't done all of the preparation for somebody of my age to have gone and competed in a tournament. And I went out there thinking just like I was a young man again, going out there without doing all the exercises, without the preparation, the month's worth of preparation that I really needed to go compete. I went out there and I ended up tearing my rotator cuff. And that happens in our Christian life. You see, if we don't keep ourselves prayed up and we don't daily seek the Word and study the Word of God and seek the face of God and build up the inner new man inside of us that God gave us, and we don't nurture that spiritual being that is inside of us, the spiritual portion of our life, and we spend all of our time watching TV, and we don't nurture, as Paul was talking about, whatsoever thing is good, whatever soever thing is holy, think on these things, and we're not doing that kind of thing. And then we shake ourselves, and we feel like we're Samson when he got his hair cut off, and he shook himself, and he thought things were going to be just like it was before he had his hair cut. And he went to go grab the Philistines, and he couldn't do anything because his strength was gone. If we find ourselves in that position, then the evil forces around us, the devil, the evil influences of the world will overcome us if we don't take care of the new man inside of us. If we don't take care of that spirit that's within us, the spiritual man, and we're only feeding the fleshly man, then when it comes time and the Philistines are around us and we shake ourselves and assume everything is as it was, then we'll get overtaken. And that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now let's look on to the 134th verse of this 119th Psalms. And the psalmist said, deliver me from the oppression of man. And we've all experienced these kind of things where we feel like maybe it's our people at our on our job, maybe it's our boss, maybe even it's a spouse, our neighbors, or whoever begins to oppress us and persecute us because we've turned our lives over to the Lord. And the psalmist was talking about that kind of situation when he prayed to the Lord, deliver me from the oppression of man. Now, we are talking about godly persecution. Now, I've heard folks that would misunderstand what persecution is. Persecution is not that you were being a jerk and somebody doesn't like you because you are a jerk, or that you did the wrong thing. You did the wrong thing. You were hateful and just mean-spirited with somebody. Or you went out and you were out spreading rumors and tales about them and they don't like you. That's not Christian persecution. You know, Peter addressed that when he said in 1 Peter 2 and 20, for what glory is it if, when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? In other words, there's no glory in it. There's no reward in it. If you've done something stupid and evil and mean-spirited, and somebody goes to get even with you for things that you've done, there's no glory in that. That's not Christian persecution. If your neighbor accidentally knocks your garbage can over and you go and spray paint the side of his house and he slaps you, that's not Christian persecution. Believe me, that's not Christian persecution. The same way if you decide you're going to send out a testimony to the neighborhood and you go over to your the side of your neighbor's house and spray paint John 3:16 on the side of that man's house and he sues you, that's not Christian persecution. Christian persecution is that if your neighbor sees you get in your car and drive to church every time the church doors are open, and he gets out and talks about how stupid you are because you're a Christian, one of them stupid Christians, then that's Christian persecution. You got to understand, for it to be Christian persecution, you can't be doing stupid, mean-spirited things to cause the person to retaliate against you. For it to be Christian persecution, you've got to be above board and innocent for it to be Christian persecution. But the psalmist, going back to the psalmist, in the 134th verse, said, "Deliver me from the oppression of man." And Paul said, and this is one of my favorite sections in the Bible, Paul, who had been through all kinds of horrible, horrible persecution, this is what Paul said to the Romans. Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. That covers everything you could imagine that covers the kind of things that could take us away from the love of God. And if you read the book of Job, and you see all the things that righteous Job went through, how patient Job went through these things, and it did not separate him from the love of God. His wife said, "Curse God and die," and he didn't do it. After all of the pain, after burying children, after losing all of his wealth, after losing all of his health, and he could not be separated from the love of Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I want us to focus in on this another verse in that section, 136, where the psalmist said, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." I believe that's what we need in the church world today. I believe that we need the saints of God. The world needs the saints of God to get a burden for a lost and dying generation. You know, the Apostle Paul told the Romans in Romans 10 and 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I believe that man would spend significant amount of time in prayer to God, praying for his fellow Jews, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would turn from their unbelief and accept the Messiah. And I believe it is each one of our duty to take a group of people that we know of, that we personally know, that is very personal with us, and begin to pray and plead to God to put them under conviction, for them to be saved. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, and at times past I've even thought that way myself, but I believe it's an error. Don't get it in your head that praying is a useless act. It is true. People have free will. God will not force someone to accept him. He did not make robots. We have free will. Each individual has free will. But prayer does change things. And you could get on your face to God and plead for God to make a change in somebody, and God would send a man of God or a woman of God to go talk to that individual one more time and that person gets saved. You're not pleading for someone's free will to be taken away from them. You're pleading for the situation to change. Now, I'm going to tell you, and don't pray no curse on nobody. That's not what I'm talking about. But what you got to do, when somebody has turned their back on God, you have to totally give it to God and say, "God, whatever it takes to get this individual back to you or to you, then so be it. Your will, you have free reign. You work the way you see fit and the way you see best." And you turn that person over to God for God to deal with them. And that's what it takes sometimes. And sometimes it takes very painful things for people to come to God. But this life we live in, this life we live here is just a short period of time. And if losing a job, some kind of marital difficulty, if some kind of trouble, if going to jail is what it takes, whatever it takes, you have to turn somebody over to God, to let God have His free hand to get that person in. Now, we're going to quickly read this next section. Next section is Zadi, starting at the 137th verse. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish hath taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are thy delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Now, I'm going to stop and not actually give you the exposition of that section of scriptures, because there's a really important thing that I want to bring out, and it's the misunderstanding of the word meek. It's going to take a little bit of time to explain that. I wanted you to make sure that if you can, to tune in next week for that section, for this section. And there's a misunderstanding. People think when Jesus was talking about blessed are the meek, that he meant meek and weak are the same thing. They are not the same thing. Jesus was not saying be weak. He was saying be meek. And I'm going to explain that to you next week. You have been listening to The Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. You can contact us via post, Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. You can call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623. Or you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. We've got some resources on the internet that are all free. You're more than welcome to download them. Got things like, for example, our shape notes, singing notes. You know, you got the old Redback hymnal, and the notes are in these real strange little shapes. They're not all round. Well, there's a reason for that, and I've got a method on there. I also got some essays that you're welcome to read and use. And also, too, now, if you want me to come out and preach at your church, I'll be more than happy to come out. You know, how much? You ask yourself, well, how much is it going to cost? Well, it ain't going to cost you anything. You don't even have to give me any kind of offer or anything. Just if you need somebody to come out and preach a little bit, just give me a call. And you pretty much will know how I preach, so you're not going to be surprised. I mean, I preach in person the same way I preach on the radio, so I am what I am. You have been listening to The Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.